Again, we sense your presence and want to continue being in your presence. Lord God, I ask as I come and bring the word that you would anoint it, that you would continue to have us have a heart that's open and ready to receive that, Lord God, what you're wanting to accomplish in our lives, that we wouldn't get in front of it, we wouldn't hinder it, we wouldn't stop it, we wouldn't control it, but we would allow you to just fall fresh on us, Lord God. That's what we need. Whether today you accepted Jesus Christ or you've been a Christian for 100 years, we need your anointing. We need your strength and we need your encouragement, Lord God. I ask that you would accomplish all of these things in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning as we celebrate Palm Sunday and as we continue to look at the final week of Jesus accomplishing all that he wants to accomplish, before he goes to the cross, and then next week as we celebrate the empty tomb. And I believe this with all my heart, if we're so quick to race to the resurrection without seeing what Jesus Christ did for each of us, it would be kind of like reading a book and not waiting to see the end of it. Say amen to that. If we just quick go to the resurrection and you miss the Good Friday and you miss the Monday, Thursday, and you miss all of the things that happen in between, because the Holy Week is a time of reflection. It's a time that every one of us, and like I said, whether you just came to Christ this morning or you've been a Christian forever, it's a week of reflection. It's a week of seeing and thanking God for what he's done. For them at the time, they were looking forward to what Jesus was going to do. And for us, we're looking back and thanking him for what he's done. Say amen to that this morning. The gospel all records the accounts of Jesus going into Jerusalem. Josh and the worship team shared lots of scripture with us this morning about the final week and Jesus coming in. And John 12:12 says this: "The next day the great crowd had come for the festival, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.'" And you can picture, and sometimes on a Palm Sunday, we pass out palms and we all at a time shake them, and we all give the impression of Jesus coming down that aisle. All the while that Jesus knew that the very people that were shaking those palms and screaming Hosanna were ones that were going to condemn him, was one that was going to turn away from him. And Jesus stayed the course, wasn't going to be deviated off course by their unsureness. He knew that there was people there with the wrong idea of what he was to accomplish. Say amen to that. They were looking for somebody to beat the Romans, somebody that would lead them against this evil power that was coming against them. And he knew that that's not why he was coming. Yet they were in the crowd yelling Hosanna, thinking that he was that person. He predicts his death. He predicts that he had to go to the cross. He expresses and explains his intentions. One of the verses said this: "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Verily, truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it produces only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." The conspiracy for Jesus was for years. Say amen to that. If you look at scriptures, it wasn't like this was the moment And you had a lot of people that were coming against Jesus. This conspiracy had been for years. They attempted to arrest him early and he wouldn't let them. They tried to kill him before he gets to the cross. He wouldn't let it happen. They lied about him. They lied to him. They tried to use him as a political tool to the people. But they couldn't stop his plan of redemption. Isn't that great? That God would love us that much and go through all these different things and stayed the course and wouldn't allow any distractions to keep him from the accomplished plan. Religious people, you know, he was such a threat to them. To a certain sects of the people, he was a threat. The Pharisees hated him. The Pharisees didn't know what to do with him because people were now coming and they were claiming that he's more than just a man, that he was God. And then Jesus had the audacity to say, yep, that's correct. I am the Son of God coming to do and accomplish. He openly claimed to be the Son of God, and that upset them. They were upset in the business world, as he began to overturn money changers and do all these different things and began to call the religious big shots vipers. Whitewashed tombs. I don't know what that would equate to this year in this time as a slang, but it sure upsetted them. Some loved him, some hated him. And he understood that he wasn't there to destroy the Romans. He was there to provide eternal life for us. He was going past the immediate need. See, aren't we all guilty of that at times? That we're coming to God and we want him to meet our immediate needs, whatever that is. And at times he says, I got the big picture here. I'm going to pour out. I'm going to bless. You may have to wait a while. You may have to go through some things. But I am staying the course for the big picture. If Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter are only a story that you've read, heard about, then you've really never met the man and God, Christ Jesus. If they're only storybooks that seem to come alive at certain times of the year, you've missed it. See, a lot of people know about the cross. A lot of people know about Jesus. But few have experienced the cross. Few have experienced Jesus in a miraculous way. Few have allowed Jesus to change their lives. What would this society look like if Christians, man, we're you know, you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're on your way to heaven, but how much more could God do if Christians would be on fire? See, I get concerned about specialized holidays and those things on the Christian calendar, because I think sometimes, oh, it's Easter, you got to talk about the resurrection. It's Christmas Eve, you got to talk about Jesus in the manger. And you begin to hear these stories so many times, but every time God comes and gets a group of believers together, he has something to speak about. Even if you've heard that scripture 1,000 times, he has something else to tell you every time that he gets together with us. And that's what bothers me. And we're so prone to listening to the experts tell us what we should think, tell us what we should know. And I think that we forget that Jesus' words need no higher authority. Say amen to that. If Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And we live it. Martin Luther says this, I love this. I preach as though Christ was crucified yesterday, rose from the dead today, and is coming back tomorrow. If believers would live it and preach it, we would live amazing lives. We would see the town drunk saved. We would see people's lives changed. We would see circumstances that sometimes we create. We would avoid some of those things. See, because I really believe that we forget that this ragtag group that Jesus put together is just like us. That encouraged me. Yeah, they were dysfunctional. They were confused. They were scared. And they're just as disorganized as the church is today. And I say that with concern, but it's true. If we ever would realize the power we have in Jesus Christ, we would be changed. People, this community would be changed. Christians today say, well, if I lived during that period of time and I could look Jesus in the eye and I could see Him and hear Him and touch Him, then I would be different. No, you wouldn't. They didn't then, and you wouldn't now. Because it's all what God does in our hearts. Because we can talk away a miracle and it'd be right in front of us. The Bible is full of examples of the apostles falling short, having doubt, making bad decisions. And you know what? That gives me hope. I'm a screw up saved by grace. And I sometimes have to realize that and see what God is wanting to do in our lives. Peter was always getting ahead of Jesus, wasn't he? Peter was always putting his foot in his mouth and doing things that he said he would never do. "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied. "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you? I will lay my life down for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I say, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." I'm going to tell you this morning, and I was sharing with Josh when we were here early, one of the problems with Peter is the same problem that most people suffer today with: following Jesus at a distance. Not walking with Him. Following at a distance. They were just, and we get the same way, they're just satisfied being close. Following too close would mean that Jesus would have to change some things. We don't like that. Following too close would mean that we have to be battle ready. Following too close would mean that we would have to listen to Him. Then they followed at a distance. Today we follow at a distance. You don't believe me? Check out this scripture. And it's the first time I've read this verse 1,000 times. Matthew 26, verse 57 and 58. "Those who had arrested Jesus took Him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teacher of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed Him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome." Where was Peter? Peter was with the guards instead of being with Jesus. Peter was at a distance instead of being with Jesus. Peter was at a distance where the pressure was off a little bit, where he didn't have to admit that he was one of Jesus's people. After all, you don't want to get too close and be one of those Jesus freaks. That's why he denied Jesus three times. He was too far away from Him. He was doing things in his own. He didn't set out to do that, but he got too far from Jesus. And when we get too far from Jesus, we're capable of doing anything. When we're too far from Jesus, it don't work. And we're raising a society of people that just just keep Jesus close enough that you're saved and use him as fire insurance, but don't keep him close enough that he can change your life. Don't keep him close enough that you can be used by God. That's why that was his problem. That's why he denied him three times. That's why Peter thought by cutting off the ear of the guard that Jesus would be impressed. Now, Peter, I got this. Heals the soldier and tells Peter to get back in line. It's why his disciples couldn't pray. They were too far away. What? Can't you pray an hour? Truth be told, can't you pray 5 minutes? Do I get any of your time? See, I'm going to tell you this morning, when we realize that we're more like Peter, our lives are going to change. When we realize that we can screw up just like Peter, we have screwed up like Peter. Sometimes we put on Sunday morning, we put our Christian shirt on and we come to church, but we're acting more like Peter. Jesus wants to tell you this morning, he's got this. He wants to tell you this morning that we need to spend some time in prayer. We need to allow him to be God. Sometimes we need to quit cutting off the soldier's ear and love the soldier. Each one of us has been a believer for a while and has lost somebody because of our faith. Say amen. If you haven't, check where you're at. Check how far you are from Jesus. Because if you're walking with Jesus, you will lose some of your friends for the faith. Some of your family members will not look at you the same as they used to. If you haven't experienced that, then I would invite you to step up closer to Jesus. I would invite you that you would allow him to do some transforming in your lives and allowing him to do the things that he wants to do in our lives. Don't let the world dictate your behavior of how you're going to act with Jesus. I think, Josh, this morning during worship, if I wasn't scared to scare half the people, I was ready to run. And one day, you're going to see it. God's doing something new here. So if I start running, either follow me or just wait a minute. I'll be back. Because God's doing amazing things. Don't let the circumstances get in front of what God is doing. Should say amen there. That'd be a good place to say amen. If you haven't lost some, you're too far away. Don't be too far away from Jesus. Beth Moore, I love this. If you're only hanging with Christians, I'm going to shoot everybody this morning because I think God's talking to us. If you're only hanging with Christians, you're not where you're supposed to be. You're not where you're supposed to be. Beth Moore puts it this way: there are a few things more useless to the gospel than a mess of Christians who only build relationships with others just like them. Faith that doesn't affect your life is not really faith. We don't want to hear that. Because we want to come into church and we want everybody to love us. We don't want to ever say anything to offend anybody else. But I'm telling you, if your faith doesn't change your life, what do you have? Your faith can move mountains. But hear the end of this. Bad faith will create mountains. The world is watching us. The world was watching Jesus. The world is watching you and I. We have a choice to follow Jesus closely or from a distance. If you want to make an impact, you're going to have to get closer. If you want them to see Jesus in you, you're going to have to be real close. Because I'm going to tell you, we don't look so good without Jesus in our lives. I want to share just a couple scriptures. I just got a few minutes left. Joshua 24:15, and if you want, just write these down. And I think this week, if you would, just look at these three verses. Three different books of the Bible, three verses. Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That has to be an intentional thing. Jesus was intentional. He walked the road to the cross intentional. From a distance, you're going to make mistakes. From a distance, you're only able to do things in your own strength and power. It has to be on purpose. None of us are perfect, but walking in Jesus will be a whole lot better and a whole lot safer. Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul was a slave to sin, and by choice walked in the redemption of Christ. If you're walking too far from Jesus, you're too far away. The gospel is all about Jesus and not about us. The church is not all about a holy huddle. It's people that mess up that are saved by grace and have the answer for other people. And are you willing to share it? One more. 1 Peter 3:15-16. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Let me say that again. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their own slander. And I'm closing here. Palm Sunday is all about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Him being in our lives and about us drawing close to Him. It's about a God that would not give up on us. I don't know where you're at this morning. I know God was working in some people's lives. What you do with it this morning is totally up to you. But I will say, if you're too far from Jesus, move up. Don't be at a distance. In that crowd, when Jesus walked through into Jerusalem, there were critics. There was people that were just curious. And then there was a core group of people that wanted God to change their lives. And which are you? Which one are you? You have to be one of them. Either you're going to throw a stone at them, you're going to be a critic, you're going to find all kinds of reasons why you can't follow Jesus, or you're just there to be curious. But a select few are going to take that as a core of believers and just take God at His word. But for those that are taking God at His word, means no more hiding. No more hiding. And only you know. Some of us are real good at hiding what's really going on in our lives. No more hiding with God. And for some of you this morning, Some of you are thinking you're not good enough. And you're right, but God loves us anyways. None of us are good enough. None of us. To that crowd that thought they could put Jesus away, they were wrong. And for some that think they just got all this time to wait. You know, when I was 30, I thought I had forever too, but that seems like yesterday. Now I'm not 30 anymore. My body reminds me of that every day. Putting it off is a dangerous spot. I don't, at whatever age, because here's the thing. When Christ is speaking to you, He wants you to respond. Whatever it is, whatever's going on in your life, and you sense His presence speaking to you about that issue, it's time to respond. I have one more thing, and I know we've been praying about it, and some of us have been getting updates on our phones and texts and stuff. We've been praying for our General Superintendent Newell Smith's daughter. District Superintendent, yeah. But, you know, we, man of God, loves the Lord with all his heart, had a daughter by his own words and her words, saying that she has distanced herself from God. And the thing that we've been praying for is that she became deathly ill 12 or 13 days ago. And every day we've been getting an update, and it went from they thought she was going to die. She had a virus that they couldn't identify. It put her into a self-induced coma because she couldn't breathe. She's only like 38 years old, and pneumonia and all kinds of infection that they couldn't control. Had to put her on a ventilator, put her in this induced coma. And I remember the first update, that Diaz couldn't hardly speak. You know, he's painting a picture and very, very much showed his vulnerability of that he really thought his daughter was going to die. And in 12 days, she has gone from death to, I believe, tomorrow she'd be going home. On Thursday or Friday, she came off the ventilator, and they were so afraid that if she couldn't sustain herself after the being off, that it was going to be a problem, because she was on for so long was a problem. And I think what caught my attention and why I'm bringing this to your attention as we close out this sermon is, you know, Saturday they took her off and her oxygen levels had improved and she couldn't talk for hours and maybe even a day or two after because of severe sore throat. The first thing she asked about was her 3-year-old son. And the second thing that really gets my attention is all through this, the DS and his wife Ann were telling this girl, there's thousands of people praying for you. And the second thing she said to her parents was, God has given me more time, hasn't he? We don't always have that guarantee. But God has given her more time. And it's amazing. And talking with Darlene, and I know she passed out a testimony of some of the things in the years with her battle with cancer, and that's amazing. God gave her more time. God is so good. Don't keep Jesus out of distance. That's where I'll stop and we'll pray. Don't keep Jesus out of distance. He wants to do so much in our lives. He's not done with this church. I believe he will bring the people that's needed to take us to the level that we need to go and been praying about. I believe that the help and some is here already. You know what I'm saying? God is doing a new thing. don't get caught up and hung up on immediate circumstances, because God can bring you out of that in a minute. 12 days ago, she was dying. Tomorrow, she may go home. That's the kind of God that we serve. And that's the kind of God that can bring you out of your circumstances. Father, we thank you this morning. I know you're doing amazing things in people's lives. And I pray, Lord God, that you would allow us to keep focused on you. Fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Not on a circumstance, not on a need, not on a person, but on Jesus Christ. I pray that what you started today in people's lives, those that came around this altar, and I believe those that were sitting in the pew, I believe God gave every one of us something this morning. May you continue to be and do all that you need to be and do for the Lord. May today be a fresh start for some. May today be an encouragement to the week that we have ahead, and that, Lord, you would get honor and glory in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.